This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
While the Republicans are talking about a Ron Don show, what will the Democrats do? The president's approval ratings slip, and it's very early in the game, but does it mean anything? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. But first, we jump to the weather. As you know, I do feel like a professional weather person here on this show, if you've listened at all. I did do the weather a couple of times on TV. I've said this before, but because I knew how to work the computer when I was in a place called Kearney, Nebraska, where they get extreme weather. This was extreme in Cole, Oklahoma. That's exactly what they described it as, large tornado. Just rolled right on through. So there was some damage, definitely a trail of heavy damage, but it was a rural area. So, yes, there were people that suffered some damage, but nothing like what we saw in Mississippi in a town, Rolling Fork, if you remember, in March, that had a lot of people all compacted, small town, but a lot of people in the area where the tornado struck. And, of course, there's tornado watches throughout the night in some areas. And that's the scary part to me, to get hit by a tornado you can't see. You know that there is some watches, there is some possibilities. And of course, we're talking western Iowa, southeastern Nebraska, northeastern Kansas and Missouri, parts of Missouri too. And then a lot of times that brings those severe thunderstorms, so large hail and several incredible gusts of wind. And just when you think, well, you know, several gusts of wind versus an EF whatever. I just was somewhere outside of Orlando, and Hurricane Ian hit, what was it, six, almost 7 months ago, and ripped up Sanibel Island and Fort Myers. But it hit inland places as well, and people were talking about the damage they had, including just the other day, somebody had their carport just rip right off. So in the case of the tornado, it tore down power lines, pulled roofs off structures near Cole, and you could see some wicked video of it. About 5,000, maybe a little less than 5,000 homes and businesses didn't have power. That power, I'm told, is getting up and is mostly up. But it was pretty nasty stuff that keeps on rolling. It is wild when we look at how many tornadoes. It was 500 tornadoes, not quite, but almost 500 tornadoes so far in 2023. We're not even halfway through 2023. One of the saddest things I saw during the day was the father of 20-year-old Kaylin Gillis. You may know who she is. She is the girl who was in a car that was shot at. She was with a group of people, including her boyfriend. They were looking for a house. They went into a driveway on Saturday. They were looking for a friend's house in a beautiful rural upstate New York area. And they realized, whoops, this is the wrong house. So they went to turn around, didn't go up to the door or anything, went to turn around. And what happened was 65-year-old Kevin Monahan fired a couple shots from his front porch into the car. So no one got out of the car. There's no interaction between Monahan and the people in the car, but the shots were fired. And unfortunately, 20-year-old Kaylin Gillis was killed as a result of that. Monahan was denied bail, faces a second-degree murder charge in connection with her death. What was so sad was to hear the victim's father, Andy Gillis, who said this. He said, "For a man to sit on his porch and fire at a car with no threat is just angers me so badly, and I just hope to God that he dies in jail. Kaylin deserves justice." Kaylin's two younger sisters are going to have to grow up without their older sister, the father said. He was holding back his tears. He was crying. He said, "My wife, Angel, is going to have to go through the rest of her life without her baby girl." And then the family described her as a talented artist, an honor student, which she had straight A's. She was a Disney fanatic, and she loved animals, and she was going to go to school in Florida. She was going to become a marine biologist or a veterinarian, and now obviously that doesn't happen. This was something that didn't have to happen. But once again, somebody doesn't think before they act, and it's just terrible, terrible, terrible thing to have this family go through that and ruin all those lives. And of course, we've talked about some of the other shootings that have happened, and just senseless, senseless, senseless. So tired of hearing about that. All right, in the race to be the most powerful person on the planet, no, the most powerful person in the United States, the Reuters Ipsos poll showed that President Biden's approval ratings have slipped below 40%. You know, that's job approval especially. So in the sampling, it shows that he's kind of steadily declined since he took office in January of 2021. It was mid-2022 when he hit his lowest, which was 36%. And what are people complaining about? One in five say the biggest problem facing the country, crime, environment, was picked by one in 10. And economy, economy, economy. So, you know, what kind of a battle is this going to be with the Democrats? Because he doesn't have 100% across the board at all. I mean, usually who's ever in the White House, whether it's a Republican or Democrat, let's face it, that's what we've had. And usually when they run for another term, whether there's some that grumble and would rather not back them, they do back them and just kind of get in line with that. But it's not so sure when the Democrats huddle if that's how they're going to feel. I mean, would someone raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm going to go for that spot? And in the meantime, you've got the former president, Donald Trump, and Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who hasn't officially declared but is expected to do that, who are really at the top of the chain for the Republicans. But in any of the recent polls, the money that Donald Trump has raised since he's been indicted and the amount of people in these polls that pick him over DeSantis and any of the other candidates, it's, you know, he's doubled up on especially DeSantis, because DeSantis would come in second to Trump in what we've seen so far. I mean, this is, at this point, the early stages of this is what this is going to look like when we talk about the race for president, unless DeSantis all of a sudden decides he's not going to declare. Meanwhile, of those who are trying to run the country on the legislative side, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy unveiled a plan to raise the nation's debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion and cut federal spending by three times that amount. So his proposal, which was unveiled on the floor of the House of Representatives, would cut the total amount of domestic and military spending to 2022 levels and cap growth at 1% annually in years to come. Wouldn't touch retirement and health programs, because that's going to expand dramatically, we know, with an aging population. And now it's up to the president and the Democratic-controlled Senate. They probably will reject the proposals, but McCarthy said they would serve as the basis for negotiations anyway between the two parties over raising the federal government's $31.4 trillion, that's the real number, debt limit in the coming weeks. They got to raise that debt ceiling or it leads to default. That would shake our economy down and world economies too. Meet you on the flip side.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour Foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com. Welcome, Cave. And one of the big stories is, how about the Mets pitcher Max Scherzer ejected over some sticky stuff? Yeah, that's cheating, Maxie Max. He's a great pitcher, too. I really like watching him. But umpires made Scherzer switch gloves in the third inning, then checked him an inning later. So he was ejected from this afternoon game against the Dodgers. They looked at his glove, his pitching hand, after the third inning. So it was the second time he had to be inspected. They had him swap out, like I said, the glove for a new one an inning earlier. After the game, the Mets manager, Buck Showalter, confirmed that he was ejected for having a sticky substance on the glove. In his post-game interview, he insisted on his kid's life, he said, that he was using nothing more than sweat and rosin as is standard for pitchers. He was screaming at one point at the umpire, "It's rosin!" And then he was ejected. So he was pleading his case. He was showing his hand, he was pleading his case, and it just didn't work. They didn't believe him. They thought it was something else that, that he was trying to do. And Scherzer said he knew he was going to be checked prior to the fourth inning. He said he'd have to be an absolute idiot to try to do anything when he's trying to come back in the fourth. So, sorry, Max. The Mets did win. That's the good news. 5-3, so it didn't cost him the game. But, he was not happy. He was not happy, nor were the umpires in that deal. All right, we're thick into the NBA playoffs, and this is where it starts to get deeper in these games, because now you're getting into the third and fourth games. So the Grizzlies beat the Lakers 103-93. So that series, fans in Memphis loved it. That series now tied at one apiece. And, you look at the great LeBron James, and you just are used to the king bringing it.
But the Grizzlies not intimidated. So they learned they wouldn't have their all-star point guard because of a bruised right hand, and they found other ways to get it done. Xavier Tillman had 22 points and 13 boards, and it was kind of the collective that jumped in instead of just relying on one player. And Ja couldn't do it because he had the bruised right hand. So that was it. But they picked up the win. And like I said, this series is getting, I think, more interesting. How about the Bucks? The Bucks and the Heat, high scoring game. The Bucks win it 138-122. That game also tied at one apiece. And you look at, I was looking at the scoring totals for this. Lopez, 25 points. You had Holiday, 24 points. They had the hot hands for the Bucks, and the Bucks went at one point 20. Well, overall, 25 of 49 on 3-point attempts. So they tied an NBA record for trays, 3-pointers, in a postseason game. So good for them. That's a big win. And again, now as it starts to get deeper into this, you need those wins. Denver leads the T-Wolves 2-0. They picked up another win easily in Colorado, 122-113, the final score in that game. And that was it for April 19th. Those playoffs continue to roll on. If we look at the world of hockey, my neighbor said to me, he was like doing something outside and he was yelling across from his driveway, "Did you see that game? Did you see that game?" And I'm thinking, I don't know why immediately I'm thinking he's talking about the NBA. And he said, "No, you watched the Bolts. You went to their playoff game. The Bolts. Did you see what happened with the Bolts?" And, you know, hockey, which was kind of the big four sports, was the wicked stepchild, that has definitely become more popular, especially in some of these warm weather places. And hey, the Tampa Bay Lightning have won a couple of Stanley Cups, and it's gotten people real interested. So it was hockey night. Carolina in overtime beating the Islanders 4-3. It was Florida over Boston 6-3. Dallas knocked off Minnesota 7-3. Edmonton beating Los Angeles 4-2. And if we look ahead on the schedule and what's coming up to on games on Thursday, those Bolts my neighbor was talking about taking on Toronto, of course, in that series. You have the Rangers and the Devils, Seattle and Colorado, Winnipeg and Vegas. It would take me probably three or four shows to go through everything hockey-wise, and all of you would be like, "What? What are you doing? What are you talking about?" But it's important to look at, again, the growth of hockey, and I think some of that is because so many younger people have the availability of ice, and they're going to ice rinks, and they're competing, they're playing on teams, and they're loving hockey. Hockey certainly has seen, I think, a rise in its popularity, and I think that's part of the reason why. It is about getting younger people invested in some of these sports, whatever the sport is. So anyway, Tampa Bay, when they hit the ice against the Leafs, they lead, because it's just the beginning of the series, 1-0. And the same like basketball, they're early going in the middle of all of this. It's always time to talk about football because so many people are football fans. We know that that is the number one sport, whether it's college football we're talking about or professional football. And a really interesting story came out of Miami about Tua Tagovailoa. He says that he mulled over retiring, that he really considered retiring after his concussions last season, especially the one that landed him in the hospital. And he held a news conference since the first one he's had, since suffering from that concussion December 25th. And he said he thought about briefly leaving, you know, leaving the game. He said, I considered sitting down with my family, and I did, and I talked to my wife, and I had some tough conversations, and he said it would be really hard for him to walk away from the game with how old he is and with his son, because he dreamed of playing as long as he could to where his son knew exactly what he was watching, but he was concerned about his health. You know, his hit on the back of his head on the ground in each instance really was difficult to watch. So in the off season, guess what he's done? He is trained with a jiu-jitsu coach. He's a white belt, but this experience is helping him to distribute his weight and energy when he falls, you know, tucking his chin and all of that so that he has the right kind of posture and doesn't hit that head. So that's the good news there, because he doesn't want that CTE. And of course, the Dolphins have committed to Tua over the past several months. They've talked about that. And, you know, this is a big year for him in coming back from that concussion. And now they have new helmets, too. The quarterbacks have possibilities, if they like the new helmets, that they can use that are supposedly offer even more protection. So, you know, there you go. Hall of Famer died from the 49ers roster. He was pretty tough from what I understand. Dave Wilcox, who was a linebacker, legendary type for San Fran, was 80 years old. He spent 11 seasons playing outside linebacker for the 49ers, and he was fearless. He had a great nickname, the Intimidator. He was a two-time first team All-Pro, two-time second-team All-Pro, seven-time Pro Bowl selection. And he was so aggressive the way he played. But off the field, he was pretty humble and very different from the transformation he made when he was on the field. And, you know, he got into the league when the American Football League was competing for top players. So he was picked in the sixth round of the AFL draft, and then the Niners chose him in the third round of the NFL draft, and he decided to go to San Francisco. All right, that's it for the Man Cave. We've got to close the door. Remember, you can check out more at invadethemancave.com.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Two of the seven seated jurors in President Trump's hush money criminal trial are being dismissed from the panel. One was released after inquiries into his arrest record, while another was excused due to concerns about media exposure of her identity. Trump continues to appear in the New York court rather than on the campaign trail. Hunter Biden is asking appellate courts in both of his criminal cases to consider dismissing his tax and gun charges. Biden asked the Third Circuit Court of Appeals earlier this week to hear his arguments for dismissal after a judge in Delaware denied Biden's requests to drop three felonies related to a 2018 gun purchase. Authorities are continuing their investigation into the origins of the Maui fires from last year, which claimed the lives of 101 people. According to a report by the state attorney general, a significant windstorm caused power lines to topple in Lahaina, igniting that initial fire on that August day. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
So we're taking you to Hawaii. Wow, who doesn't want to be in Hawaii? And we're going to introduce you to an author, Don Holman. He's in our virtual green room. He has written a book called Mutiny on the Omaha, Book One. And there's an entire series that's going to come out with all of this. In fact, he's written 10 books. He's got 10 books all together, which is mind-blowing in itself. And science fiction is one of my favorites, and he really takes you on a ride with Mutiny on the Omaha. Thanks so much, Don, for joining us.
Oh, great to be here.
So let's talk about your road to, first of all, science fiction. Why science fiction? Did you always have an interest?
I think I've always had an interest. I read grade one. I'm dyslexic. I had a horrible time. And nobody knew it. I didn't know it. I had a horrible time learning to read in grade one. Once I finally got it so that I knew enough to read, I've been reading voraciously ever since. I would go to the library, get three books on Friday. Monday morning, I'd get three more. Friday, I'd have those done. I'd get three more. I was only allowed to take out three from that library. And so I've been reading, and science fiction, it just gives scope to the imagination. I mean, why not? It's you can do anything you want, any situation, any character, having, you know, potential problems to solve. So all the, I figure out a problem, and then I have to figure out a way for the characters to solve it. It really keeps you exercised and energized.
So tell us about the story, Mutiny on the Omaha. We're not going to tell everybody everything, but give us sort of the movie trailer version or a sneak peek. What's the story about? And tell us about some of the characters.
Oh, it's really kind of prototypical. The young man, he's just graduated or just graduating high school. His father has just gone missing trying to test out an advancement in the space drive in the ship he designed, the changes that he designed for a standard mail ship that goes between solar systems. And he went out to test this change and disappeared. No further word. And of course, he left lots of debts behind. They're getting kicked out of their house. He's got scholarships, but he doesn't have money to cover room and board and so on. And they don't have, his mother is going to visit her sister, but there's no university there. So he decides there's just been war been declared, and so he wants to join the military and work on computers, of course. That's his thing. So he convinces his mother, he joins the military, he gets taken under the wing of a very kind officer, and he's promoted through, the officer says, well, you could take the classes, but you know more than the instructors. So he shepherds him through an accelerated basic training, if you will, or take basic technical training. Then goes on and gets to the school he wants to, which are the super advanced computers that they use to operate the ships and bases and so on. And then he graduates. He goes to another final advanced school that teaches how to use the computers better when there's an attack by the enemy. Some small ships, destroyer type ships that have loaded with, missiles that have atomic warheads, and they have to defend themselves. And he comes up with an idea, puts it out there, and then gets drafted to do something else totally different, of course. Anyway, that's sort of you get the first two or three chapters are kind of getting him ready to do things. Then he starts doing things, and it's the story of where he goes from planet to planet doing various things. Like one planet, he's steward or crew, whatever, on a space plane that goes up to the space station and then lands with people going on rest and recreation on the planet. And this guy is a little chubby. He's very standoffish. He doesn't even come out of his cabin most stops. He opens the door a crack. He hands in the papers. They hand it back out. But one place on the planet, and it's the only place that was really developed before the military moved into this strategically located planet. There was a diamond mine, a very unusual diamond mine. It was diamonds are often created by in a volcano. And this one spewed out ash all over the place for years or decades or whatever. And in that ash, there's lots of these little tiny, tiny diamonds. And the guy that discovered it became very rich and became mayor of the town that grew up. And every time they land there, and this is the only place, there's lots of undesirables. Every time they land there, the captain of the space plane grabs his briefcase and rushes off as soon as they land. And then he comes back right before it's time to take off. And of course, the propaganda that they get is, if you see something, say something. Anything unusual, you're supposed to report it. And he doesn't know whether he should report it, or is the guy just being atypical, pain in the behind, or is it something more sinister? So one day he gets the opportunity and he follows him. And one guy's on the bus and he's having to walk to try to catch up, and he sees them going in. And the volcano, the old volcano cone, they took a mining machine and did a spiral up around the edge of the volcano, and from that spiral, which is like a big long ramp about, you know, 6-7 stories high, and then they would dig in and they would mine out little chambers. You can't have too many mined out or it becomes unstable. And the stuff they mine out, it's processed for diamonds, and then they kind of, basically they're fronting money for the mining company to process the stuff that they dig out for diamonds. If they get lots of diamonds, you know, they get their money back. If they don't, well, they've still got place to live or for a store or so on. And he finally finds out where the guy's gone. And he walks around. It's a little store, and there's a bead curtain in the back. And he looks, and there's a spotlight down on this table. And on the table is a Go board. If you've ever played Go or know anything about it, it's a Chinese origin, Japanese national game of Go. And they're playing it. And, you know, one arm comes out into the light with a single ring for the captain showing, you know, he knows who it is, obviously. And he plays, and the other guy plays immediately. And then the captain hesitates and then plays again. Obviously, the guy he's playing with is a lot better than the captain is. So anyway, so all this build up, he just likes to play Go. a fun end to an interesting story. Others, you know, every chapter basically presents a problem. You know, captain that is eccentric and unusual. And then they come along, and there's the problem solved. And then, of course, that triggers that the captain will play with him. And they have a much better relationship, and he starts getting invited up to the front cabin occasionally. So, great outcome. But it's, you know, all sorts of different situations in the book and the characters. And the situations of real life, what you might find out. I mean, he's even taken to a brothel, and you find out how he reacts to that. And then he is taken, eventually he's assigned to a space station where the computer, which is the ones he learned to work on and put together and diagnose and so on, he's taken to this, sent to the space station, and he's the reason that the shuttle going out to the space station is in such a big hurry. He doesn't know anything. He's substituting it. It got its departure time moved up. He's taking the place of the steward that didn't make it to the shuttle. And so he's first off. He takes everybody's baggage in, goes right through this group of officers waiting for the shuttle. And then he tries to set out for this place on, he doesn't know where it is, but he sets out trying to find the place that he was told to report to, and gets braced up by the drill sergeant type warrant officer, and, you know, drifts up, bounces off the ceiling, comes back down, and eventually makes it to where the computer is, and finds out that something's, you know, wrong big time. You don't have a complete computer here. So there's another mystery to solve and another problem.
The only thing people have to do listening to this is to go and get it. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it wherever great books are sold. Mutiny on the Omaha, Book One. Don Holman, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, The dog, yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This time around on Author's Corner here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, we have Dr. Daniel Brubaker. His book, Psychosocial Political Dysfunction of the Republican Party. It's a mouthful, but it nails it exactly what he's talking about. We had a great off-air conversation about this, and he's really dug deep. Dr. Brubaker, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So why did you write this book?
I wrote the book because I wanted to use my experience over a 30-year period observing the Republican Party. I'm a Republican for 57 years. You might say by the title that this is a Democrat bashing the Republicans, but no, I'm a Republican. And I'm really pretty much upset with the direction the Republican Party has been going in the past 30 years. And it kind of all started with Newt Gingrich, who was Speaker of the House in the 90s. He was calling Democrats communists, jackasses, and socialists. And they're not socialists. So in chapter four, I wrote about socialism, and it was it's entitled Why Republicans Call Democrats Socialists. And I wrote the whole chapter on socialism, and Democrats are not socialists. Their policy is to follow social democracy, which is utilitarian, and utilitarianism is the is a philosophy of moral goodness, which defines it as the greatest good for the greatest number of people. I, on the counterpart, came up with the opposite called nefariousism, which is the greatest bad for the greatest number of people. And you see with things like Social Security, that's good for the people. What the Republicans try to do is they try to destroy good policies like Obamacare, Social Security, Medicare, and other good social programs. So I call this nefariousism.
It's interesting you talk about Social Security and Medicare. When you talk to fellow Republicans about it, what kind of reaction do you get?
Well, there it depends on what Republicans you talk to. People like in my family and my friends, you know, they want Social Security. My sister's about 8 years older than me, and she's on Social Security, and she's using Medicare. I'm now on Medicare myself, and it's really good insurance. And I'll tell you why, because being a physician, we don't have to go through managed care to get things done. We get things done with the patients without question, and we do it the right way. So if you go by those kind of Republicans, that's what they come up with. And if you go by the far right, then they want to control Medicare. They want to get rid of it.
Yeah, and this is the great debate that we're having all over the place about Medicare and Social Security and where is it headed and what's going to happen, and certainly you know that. One of the things you talk about, and you talk about it right in the very beginning, you say the American people have been fed a steady diet of misinformation and conspiracy theories, and it has made them confused and fearful. Do you think that's the biggest danger of all?
Oh, absolutely. You know, people that utilize conspiracy theories are what I describe in the book as delusional and paranoid. They have this fear about the opposite party and about opposite thinking, liberal thinking, progressive thinking. And so they come up with these different things about it's really nothing. It's just a lot of lying. And you see this like on Fox News, for example, where the whole base is taught lies. And that's a problem, as I see it. And they're making money off of lies. It's well, you know, it's democracy, so they can get away with it. But I see this as the wrong way to go down the line.
Another thing that you talk about is you say documentation is especially important in science, medicine, law enforcement, law, government, and media. You say in science and research, methods and results must be recorded to determine factual results. Fraud happens. It occurs when records are falsified. Dishonesty always has a role in presenting false facts. That seems pretty simple to understand, right?
It does. And then I also describe other issues regarding obtaining facts like verification. You have to verify facts. You have to fact check. And, you know, not all facts are factual or true. You have to look at different aspects of it. Like there's things in medicine that are published and are factual, but then somebody else may come along and publish something else that's a little bit different, but it is also factual. So you have to weigh the differences between the two. You have to use critical thinking, do analysis, and come up with what you think is right.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. What you think is right, that to me is critical, what you ultimately think. Instead of, you can listen to anything you want to listen to, absolutely, I'm about free speech, but processing and how you processing it and how it comes out on the other side. What do you hope people take away from reading your book, which you can get on Amazon or Barnes & Noble?
I would actually like the Fox News base to read this book and get the factual information, because this is all about facts. It's educational, and the reader has to use critical thinking and analysis when reading the book. So, for the Democrats, I would want them to understand what's happening with the Republican Party on the far right. it's not good. It's autocratic. You know, fascism is where the Republican Party is headed, and fascism is an autocratic, far-right nationalist ideology that encourages hatred and violence. And that's not the basis of the Republican Party. The Republican Party, at its inception, was for the people, and it was also a liberal party at the time for social justice and racial justice. So I wanted to take away the fact that I'm expressing facts, and they need to analyze it when they're reading it.
I like that. Analyze it when they're reading it. Tell everybody, because now the road to writing, what you did for a living that then now is interesting. It's led you down this path.
Well, I'm a physician, a practicing physician. My passion has been science and medicine, but even longer, I've had a passion for philosophy and psychology. Also having an interest in sociology, history, and politics. And I've used all of these disciplines to prove that the Republican Party is dysfunctional. So that's where I've been going with the book in terms of writing it. And it was it's because I have been seeing over the past 30 years that the Republican Party has been dysfunctional, acting like children, and I wanted to make a change. That's what I want to do.
As a lifelong Republican, and you know that there are other people that feel the same way, do you hope that turn happens sooner rather than later?
Oh, absolutely. I'm pretty fearful of the direction they're going, and the Republicans have been taught to be fearful of communism and socialism over the past 30 years, but fascism is even worse, and I'll tell you why. It's not an economic system. Socialism is an economic system. It's also a political system. So if you don't have an economic system that fascism doesn't have, they can infiltrate any kind of government. And it's happened. It's happened in socialist Italy with Mussolini, and it's also happened with Democratic Republican in Germany with Hitler. So they need to get fearful of the right thing, as far as I'm concerned.
All right, the name of the book is Psychosocial Political Dysfunction of the Republican Party. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you for helping me.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.